Word of God open in front of you as it's preached. You want to make sure that what I'm saying truly is faithful to the Scriptures. As I said, John 17 is where we'll be this morning. You can also find an outline there for notes, thoughts, or questions in your bulletin. There's a Christmas song entitled, I'll Be Home for Christmas. There are probably many versions, but the one I'm familiar with was sung by Bing Crosby. All right, is anyone familiar with this song, I'll Be Home for Christmas? Anybody? Okay, a few hands. Okay, good. Good. Well, it's well known as a traditional Christmas song in America, and I heard it actually not too long before we made our journey here, and it was thought-provoking for me. But a couple of the lines say, if you're not familiar with it, they say, I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. It's obviously a very nostalgic Christmas song of being home for Christmas. Of course, it certainly has the northern hemisphere in mind as well. As I mentioned, snow, no snow here for Christmas. We don't miss it too much, maybe a little bit, but not so much. If it could stop raining, maybe that'd be good. I think it's supposed to soon, but yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily the same here, but in American culture, my reference point, there are nostalgic notions that are very much intertwined with Christmas. Again, it wouldn't be snow here, but I would imagine nearly all of you have nostalgic thoughts or ideas regarding Christmas, perhaps Christmas lights or a Christmas tree or gifts or a Christmas meal or perhaps Santa or numerous other traditions that you might have. Indeed, as the song suggests, many of these center on being home, being home. But what is home? What is home? Think about it for a few moments. What is home? Certainly a question that has and is of great significance to my family right now as we are recently displaced and are coming to a new earthly home. But what is home? Is it a place? Perhaps it's being with family and friends. Biblically, although we are told that the Father is preparing a place for us, home seems to be much more of a concept biblically than a place. When we think about home, we think about being at true peace, having true rest, in perfect unity with God and with each other. Although the song doesn't name these things, I would argue that that is really what it's getting at, those feelings. When it's talking about, I'll be home for Christmas, it's. I think the song has in mind peace, comfort, hope, joy, unity, these sorts of things. That's what's really behind the mistletoe and the presents under the tree, or whatever a nostalgic Christmas might look like for you. True peace and unity with God and man, being at perfect rest. This state of perfect unity, rest, love, and peace, as many of us know, was ours in the garden before sin entered the world. And it's what we still all long for because it's what we were created for. The concept of home is primarily a concept of being truly known and truly loved as you truly are. Saint Augustine pretty much nailed it when he said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." There's only one true home for the human soul, and we are restless until our hearts are united to Christ by faith. In one sense, Christmas is about our true home, heaven, coming to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But in another sense, Christmas is about leaving home. In John 17 today, I want to draw our attention toward an aspect of Christmas that we sometimes overlook. That aspect is that Jesus was sent. He didn't just come, but he was sent. He was sent from home in order to bring us home, and also to send us that others could be brought home, and all this for his glory alone. This is the true meaning of Christmas. Of course, it's not snow or mistletoe or presents under the tree or even a family Christmas meal, as great as that might be. The meaning of Christmas is that Jesus was sent from home to bring us home and also to send us so that others would be brought home for his glory. John 17 is a very dense chapter. My aim today isn't to expound all that is in the chapter, but rather to help us see the sending of Jesus. We often think about him coming at Christmas. Maybe that's the earthly side, you could say, and rightfully so, we should think about that. But we also need to consider him being sent, the heavenly side. We see this idea clearly in at least five verses in this passage. Verse 3, Jesus says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." In verse 8, at the end, he says, "You sent me." Verse 18, he says, "As you sent me in the world, so I have sent them into the world." Also again in 23 and 25, you can find that same word of being sent. John wrote so that his readers would know and believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and by believing, have life in his name. John says that explicitly in John 20, 31. Jesus being the Messiah entailed that he was sent by the Father. He was from the Father. To truly appreciate Christmas, we need to begin to understand what it meant for Jesus to be sent. He left home, but not just any home. He left heaven to come down. The perfect unity, fellowship, and love he experienced with the Father and Holy Spirit from eternity past was not cut off, but I think we can imagine that it was changed in a way that brought hardship and discomfort to Jesus. He left home. It's hard to leave home. I don't think we'll ever fully understand what it meant for Jesus to come, for him to be sent. But we need to strive to understand, to truly treasure his coming. As you know, our family recently left what had been our home to come here. We're thankful. By God's grace, we experience great measures of unity, fellowship, and love with those that we are closest to in Wisconsin. But of course, nowhere near the magnitude to which the Son experienced these things, this sort of unity, fellowship, and love with the Father and Spirit throughout eternity past. Even our best relationships have and had shortcomings and challenges, and yet we experience sorrow and pain in leaving home, leaving those relationships. Many of you can probably also identify with painful partings or goodbyes. I know that many of you have moved in your life or maybe even recently relatively new to this area. So you can identify with painful goodbyes. But whatever we might experience could surely only be a fraction of what the Son experienced in leaving the Father. The Westminster Confession considers the person and work of Christ in terms of his humiliation and his exaltation. Part of his humiliation was that he was born in human flesh. The infinite took on finitude. The immortal took on mortality. And in addition, he was born in a humble stable. He was put under the very law that he created. He underwent the miseries and brokenness of this life. We normally think of the pain and agony that Jesus experienced on the cross, and rightly so, but we also ought to think about what it meant for him to come down, to condescend, to come down and take on flesh. I would argue that the sacrifice of Christ didn't begin at the cross. It began at least at the incarnation, if not even in somehow eternity past, as he knew the plan of redemption that the Father had, that the Trinity had to redeem. He left riches without number and was born in a cattle stall. Galatians 4:4 tells us that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. As we sang, we should fall on our knees. We should adore him because of his coming, because of him being sent by the Father. Is this the state of your heart today? to adore him, to want to fall on your knees. I hope it is, and I hope increasingly more so as we approach Christmas. Jesus being sent draws attention to the why he was sent. He was sent because of our estrangement and separation from the Father, our sin. He was sent from home to bring us home. We were created for eternal life, which is verse 3 tells us, is that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We were created to know God, to be in intimate personal relationship with him. Of course, that was broken at the fall, and we continue to experience the brokenness of that from our sin as well. But in verses 6 through 12, we see much detail given regarding what it means to come to know Jesus and to be brought home to him. We don't see the full order aspects of salvation here, but we do see important aspects. First, we are given by the Father to the Son. We see that in verse 6. Those who have or will come to know Christ were chosen before the foundation of the world. Jesus says in verse 6, yours they were, and you gave them to me. And then again in verse 9, I am praying for those whom you have given me. No one believes in Jesus for salvation without first being given to the Son by the Father. What a great grace and comfort it is that our salvation doesn't rest on our intellect or goodness, but it rests on God's good, eternal, wise decree. Second, we are given a sense of belonging in coming home. In verse 10, Jesus says, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. What a beautiful, joyful, and fulfilling thing it is to belong. It's perhaps maybe the deepest need of the human soul to belong, and it's really only truly satisfied in Christ alone. And our sense of belonging also comes with ownership. Because we belong to the Lord, we owe him our full submission. But for those who truly know the love of the Father, it is a joyful submission, a submission of delight and honor. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. It's very hard to live for the Lord. I'm sure many of you know that already. Various trials or difficulties that you've experienced, perhaps particularly because you're seeking to live for the Lord. It's hard to live for the Lord. We will encounter suffering, trials, and persecution as we walk in the steps of our Master. But it's also an incredibly blessed life. An incredibly blessed life to belong to him and to submit to him. So coming home, we have the sense of belonging. And we are also, third, we are guarded. Verse 12 says, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction. As we come home to Jesus, we can rest knowing that we are in a secure home. While Satan seeks to steal and kill and destroy, we can be at peace knowing that we are safe in Christ. His life, death, resurrection, and ascension were sufficient, and they are sufficient for us. He is victorious. None of the enemy's accusations stand, and we cannot be snatched out of his hand, thankfully. So if we're in Christ, we're given to the Father, we belong to him with all the rights and privileges of adoption, and we are guarded. This should give us an overwhelming sense of joy and hope and peace, a true sense of home, much, much greater than snow or mistletoe or presents under the tree, or again, whatever your nostalgic Christmas dream might be. In Christ, we are truly home and enjoy the perfect fellowship, peace, love, and unity of the Trinity. Do you have this assurance, hope, and joy today? It certainly will and does ebb and flow for all of us, but this assurance, hope, and joy should be abiding for all of us who are in Christ. So let us dwell on these great truths of Scripture, that we are chosen, that we belong, and that we are guarded, and others, that we may take deeper and deeper root in our heart, that these things may take deeper and deeper root in our heart and give us an overwhelming sense of joy, peace, and hope, which are indeed the promises of Christmas. While Jesus was sent from home to bring us home, and our souls are at rest, our minds and hearts and bodies are not at rest. We see in this passage that we are sent. And how could we not have an earnest desire to share the great blessings that come from belonging to the Father with others? How can we not proclaim? That's what it means to be sent. One commentator states that the sent one, Jesus, has now become the sender, commissioning his followers to serve as his messenger and representatives. Verse 18, we read here in this passage, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." Later, a couple chapters in John 20, 21, after the resurrection, he says, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus was sent into the world sacrificially to bring reconciliation and redemption. So we are sent sacrificially to bring his ministry of reconciliation and redemption. Jesus is not just talking to the apostles in these passages about being sent. He's talking to all of his people, to us, all those who have been united to him through repentance and faith. His high priestly prayer is for his whole universal church. This commission in John 20 that I read, where he also says, "You are sent," it is also for all people who are in Christ. So if you are a Christian, you are sent. You are sent. It's not possible to be a Christian and not be sent. We are sent, of course, to different places. Some may be far, some may be near, all sorts of different circumstances and situations, your neighborhood, your workplace. But regardless, we are all sent to be a witness and a testimony to the truth of the gospel to those around us. As believers, we don't belong to this world. That's clear in verses 14 through 16. Jesus says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." If we are in Christ, our citizenship is in heaven. We are sent by our King Jesus to be his ambassadors on this earth. He's entrusted us with his ministry of reconciliation. We read about that ministry in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. The Apostle Paul says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." An ambassador is someone who is sent by a king or government and carries the king's authority to do what the king pleases. That's us. It is because we understand this that at my last church, we tended to end our worship times by saying, "Go in peace, you are sent." I'm not sure that necessarily that we'll do that here, but I do hope that we will hear this often, that we are sent. You, if you are a Christian, you are sent. The Lord himself is sending you out with his message of reconciliation and redemption. Just as his sending of his people in the Old Testament was sacrificial, if you think about the lives of the prophets and all that they endured to be bearers of God's word. And just as his sending of Jesus was sacrificial for Jesus, so we too are sent sacrificially. We think about also the life of the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, 22 through 24. He says, "And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of value, of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I would say if you cannot identify some way that you're sacrificing as Christ's ambassador in how you are sent, you're not being sent according to the Lord's greatest desire for you. Do your time and energy, priorities, your money reflect sacrifice for the cause of Christ? How so? Maybe there's an area that I read that's easier for you that may not be much of a sacrifice. Maybe he wants you to consider a different way that you should sacrifice for him, that you should be sent for the gospel, for the cause of Christ. As we looked at Paul's life and all that he endured, again, beatings, imprisonments, and shipwrecks, it's evident that he was a living sacrifice, and we are to be as well. Maybe not in the ways that Paul was, but certainly living sacrifices nonetheless. We're each individually sacrificially sent, and each have unique ministry callings according to our giftings, our experience, our circumstances, and our desires. And I hope that the Lord will use me as a pastor here to encourage you and equip you to be more effectively sent in the station that he has for you in life. So I would encourage you today to reflect on your gifts, your experiences, your circumstances and desires, and ask the Lord for greater clarity for how you are personally sent to this world. We are sent to bring others home. Only Christ can do the work through the Spirit to bring people to saving knowledge, but he uses us, and there are some of his sheep that have not been brought into the fold yet. We see this in verses 20 and 21 in John 17. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We are sent that others may believe, that they too will be one with us in Christ, serving as a testimony that Jesus truly is the Messiah. And then people seeing that unity, the oneness in Christ, that more in turn will believe. We are sent that others could also be brought home. So we have seen that Jesus was sent from home and what that meant for him and for us. He was sent from home to bring us home and to then send us to bring others home. Why? For the glory of God alone. Verse 22 says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them. We are enabled to share in the glory of God, the glory of perfect unity and wholeness, the glory that the triune God had from all eternity past. As we read in verse 5, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. God is glorified in many ways, but most supremely, he is glorified in the gospel, his mercy toward and redemption of those that deserve his wrath. This is why in Luke 2, 13 and 14, as we sung about, when the angels announced Jesus' birth to the shepherds, a multitude of angels could not help but praise God and sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The promises of the gospel that had been promised for so long throughout the Old Testament were now coming to pass. And these promises literally took on flesh and bones in Jesus Christ. How could the angels and how can we not help but sing glory to God in the highest? So we've seen today from John 17 that Christmas is not primarily about going home. It is about home, heaven, and the person and work of Jesus Christ coming to us. He was sent from his home to us, to bring us home to the Father. We are reconciled to God and become ambassadors of the King. As such, we are sent as His ambassadors from heaven to earth to proclaim that there is salvation in Christ alone. We're to embrace the fact that we are sent ones. This world is not our permanent home. It is only temporary. We are sent that we might bring others home to the Father through Jesus Christ. And all this for God's glory. So as Christmas Day approaches, let's ponder what it means that Jesus was sent. And let's embrace the fact that we are sent. Let's prayerfully ask the Lord how we can leverage all that He has given us to steward to be more effective ambassadors for Him. Let's remember, of course, that we live in a culture where this true meaning of Christmas that we've just talked about, that we've unpacked, this true meaning of Christmas is so little known and so little treasured. So let us be compassionate and brokenhearted that those who do not know Christ, they are homeless spiritually, not physically, but spiritually. And of course, that's far, far more significant. So let us be aware of those that are homeless spiritually. They have no place to belong, no true joy, hope, and peace that accompany the true home in Christ that we were created for. May the Lord make us more earnest, more passionate for the lost, for them to see and savor the true meaning of Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for sending Jesus. And Lord, we ask that You would expand our minds and our hearts to know what it truly meant for Him to come down at Christmas, to take on human flesh, to have the sort of unity and fellowship that He enjoyed among the Trinity, to have that disrupted in the incarnation. Help us to marvel that He would come for us, we who are sinners, who are not worthy of His coming. We, of course, are worthy of the wrath of God, but yet He was sent. He came for us. And Lord, we pray that we would embrace our home in Christ. Thank You for the belonging that we have, for how we were chosen before the foundation of the world, for how we are guarded in Christ. As we think about Christmas nostalgia or the Christmas spirit, whatever it might be called, Lord, help us truly think about what it means that we now have a home in Christ because of His coming from home, from His home. Lord, thank You that You have sent us into the world. If we're in Christ, You have sent us as Your ambassadors to be persons of reconciliation, reconciliation among relationships, and as You reconcile people to Yourself through Your word. And Lord, we thank You for all that You've entrusted to us, all the gifts and time and talents, Lord, to be Your ambassadors. Lord, help us to embrace being sent and help our hearts be more compassionate and broken for those that are spiritually homeless. Lord, even as we may be around family and friends with Christmas gatherings that do not yet know You, Lord, we pray that You would cause them to know You and that You would use us in that process. Give us compassion, but also wisdom and discernment, how to engage our friends and loved ones with the gospel. Lord, we thank You for being Emmanuel, for being God with us, for coming from Your home to bring us home. And Lord, even as we ponder the truths that have been preached today, Lord, we long for Your second coming. We long for You to come again, to bring us fully and finally forever home to Yourself. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.